On June 28th, I preached a message. It was, "Don't be a dry hydrant." Does anybody remember that message? Then on July 27th, we had evangelist Spencer Smith with us, and he preached $3 worth. And those two messages, looking back at them now, I can see how they were tied together in the Lord, moving in the same vein. I find myself today, August 24th, and I'll just give you the title of my message now. It's in that same vein because the Lord is saying something to His church. And my message, my title is No More Empty Cups. And that'll make more sense in just a few moments. But I believe that the Lord is speaking to us in this fashion, specifically these messages, because He is wanting to work in our midst and in your life and through your life. And so today we are going to turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 and read a few portions, a few verses here, and then we're once again going to find ourselves in John chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, and then verse 18. "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be not astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled?" Now this word spoiled doesn't mean like when we think of a bratty kid, but it's spoiled. Why are they a spoil of war is what it is saying there. And then dropping down to verse 18, "And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of that river?" Which that river would be the Euphrates River. And then we read in John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, very familiar. We've, again, have heard these verses several times in the last couple of months. "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Again, I'm going to talk for just a little while this morning about no more empty cups. Can we just lift up the Lord one more time? And will you specifically pray, "Lord, let my heart be open to what you would speak to us today." Father, we love you. Lord, we are so grateful, so thankful for your hand upon us and your desire to see the kingdom move in our lives and in our midst. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help touch my heart this morning. Help me to receive the words that you would speak. Lord, as you draw us into this great and wonderful season of life in this day and age in which you are moving, Lord, we praise you and we magnify you once again. And everybody said amen. So we find in our reading in Jeremiah chapter 2, this is early on in Jeremiah's time of being a prophet to the nation of Judah, that he is sent by the Lord to speak to Josiah and to the people. And in this, we find that he's dealing very specifically with a time that was about to come in their lives. Now, during this, this is around 629 BC, Josiah is king. Now, Josiah, for those of you who don't know, he was 8 years old when he became king of Judah. Now, Josiah's dad, Amon, and his grandfather, they were bad kings. They were not good rulers. They did not follow after the Lord. And as a matter of fact, they were very evil. And they had led the nation to follow false gods and had even led the nation into child sacrifice. So we find that once Josiah, at 8 years old, becomes king of the nation, he has a heart towards the Lord. And so he spends this next 11 years, and that's where we find ourselves, is about 11 years into his reign. We find that he has worked to bring the people's heart back to the Lord. He did everything that he could to restore worship in the temple. He reestablished the Passover, which they had just totally neglected to do. And we find that he was tearing down the idols, the high places, all of the things that would point the nation towards false gods. He was undoing that because he saw and he knew that the one true source of life for the nation and for them as individuals was through the Lord and their Savior, through the King of Kings, through God, through Jehovah. And so he was trying desperately to get them to return to their proper source. He was a good king. He was a great young man. I can't imagine being 8 years old and being in charge and responsible for a nation and having the strength at that age to say, we need to turn back to that which is right. But that's exactly what he did. And in his whole time, he wanted the people to look to God as their source for their life. And so we find in Jeremiah chapter 2, this very portion of scripture, it's very early on in Jeremiah's time as a prophet, that the Lord actually goes to Jeremiah and says, I want you to speak these words to my people. As a matter of fact, in verse 9, you find that this portion, this chapter, this prophecy to the people is really laid out like a court case. And he even says that in verse 9, that basically I'm laying out the case before you, and this is what I have seen. So we find that in verses 1 through 3, he takes time and he recalls Israel's devotion. That there was a time when Israel looked to the Lord and Him only as their source of everything that they needed, and that they worshiped Him and they gave their all to Him. But then he gets to verse 4 and he begins to talk about the spiritual drift that took place. And he talks about the things that his grandfather and his father had done. He talked about even the priest who had stopped seeking the Lord and worshiping Him the way they should. So he's really saying, is it any wonder that my people walked away from me when those who were called to lead them had totally turned their backs on me? And then we find that led us to our portion of Scripture, which really, our portion is speaking about really the fine line that the people were walking in, because Josiah was spending all this time turning their lives back to him, but the people were still, they were a work in progress. They were working to come back, but they still had those longings for what the previous times that they had lived under those previous leaders, even under Josiah's father Amon, was. But Josiah, again, he's leading them back. He's pointing them to the Lord. But here's what the Lord knows, and why he speaks to Jeremiah is the Lord knows that in just a short while, within months, if not even under 2 years, that Josiah is going to die in battle against the Egyptian army. And so the Lord is trying to send them a warning. He's trying to let them know that, there is something that's going to come. There is something that's going to take place. And you need to remember where the source of life comes from. It was a warning to not undo what Josiah had already done. Don't lose sight that I am your source. In verse 13, he says, I am your source. And he even there, he uses words. He says, I am the fountain of living waters. Those words that Jesus would echo several thousand years later on that the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we read it again this morning that he is the fountain of living water. He is a river of living water that wants to spring up inside of us. So we find in this portion, he looks in verse 11 and he says, hath a nation changed their gods which are yet not gods? And what he's saying here is you look at all the nations around us and they haven't changed their gods, even though their gods aren't real. They have stuck to their gods. He said, so why? Why would you want to change your gods to something that is not profitable when you serve the true and living God? He then goes on and he talks about that fountain of living water. And he uses the analogy of a cistern to talk about what happens when you don't let the Lord be the source of your life, when you don't let that fountain of living water spring up inside of you and be the center of your being. You see, a cistern, as a kid, I remember we had some property behind our house and church. It was an old house. It was just old. It was scary old. And of course, we treated it as such and did all the scary old things with the old scary house and, you know, dared each other to go over and knock on the window and, you know, all of the things. But in the backyard, there was a cement cover that if you flipped it up, down inside of there was this big cement pit. And the whole purpose of that pit was to collect water. It was a cistern. It was a man-made way of holding water. And that's exactly what we find that the prophet is saying is you have made your own cisterns. But when you made these, you didn't make them to where they would hold water. You made them broken. You have made cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You see, and he's talking about these cisterns. He's really saying these are man-made things that you make in your life that you think can be the source of your life. You think can be what are going to provide what you need. But in the end, when man tries to make that ultimate source of life, it's always going to be broken and it's always going to fail. He then says in verse 18, he says that you're going to go to Egypt. You're going to go to the Assyrians. And you're going to their rivers to fill these up. Because we know that when Babylon would come and later attack Judah, that they would make an alliance with Egypt. They would make an alliance with the Assyrians to try to keep the Babylonians at bay. But we find that they were trying to fill these broken cisterns with waters, not the living water that the Lord was offering them, but from waters from things that represent the world and what the world could offer and what the world can do. You see, they were looking to what the world and the world's systems and the world's offerings or things of this world could do to be their source of water, or their source of life at this time. But the Lord, he's telling them this. He's saying, it is a broken well. It is a broken way. When you do this, that will always lead to an empty life, to an empty cistern. And where this whole message came from, I was reading a devotion. It was a devotion I picked up for 50 cents, Bishop, at a yard sale. It's a fantastic devotion. I'd have paid 55 cents for it if they would have. It is. It's a really good devotion. And actually, I got three of them. So now they're like year devotions, and they're from like 2011, 2012, and 2013. But that's okay. There's still 365 days in the year. But I was reading it, and in there I read this story, and he was talking. There was a guy. His name was William Law, and he wrote in this devotion that he wrote called A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. And he wrote it a few years ago in 1729. And this devotion was specifically calling out a story in that previous devotion written over 300 years ago, or close to 300 years ago. You see, we've got to understand that, again, this is all a prophetic message to the people about what was going to happen. It's the reason that you see this prophetic utterance of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost being referred to as living water springing up inside of us. Because a lot of times these prophets, and I think it's why we're finding ourselves in Isaiah and Jeremiah so much right now. These prophecies, they were for the nation and for the people at the time, but they hold a double meaning because they often point to prophecies that speak about our time and our day and our age. And so it is we find here where the Lord is saying to them that I am the fountain of living water. I am the fountain of life. Those same words that Jesus again would echo. But Judah, they just couldn't see that the better way of their life was the living water, that fountain of living water as their source of life. And so when William Law was writing, he gets this idea of these broken cisterns. He sees this, and in it he begins to tell a story about a man who would pick up a cup that was empty. I mean, he had this extreme thirst in his life. And he would pick that cup up and he would put it up to his mouth and try to get a drink, but his thirst was never quenched because the cup was always empty. Sometimes he got cheap wooden cups and put them up to his lips, but they were always empty. And he would try to drink to quench his thirst, but there was nothing there, so his thirst wouldn't be quenched. And then sometimes he got a golden cup that was beautiful on the outside and looked wonderful, and he would take that cup and he would put it to his lips and try to get a drink, but again, he would find that it was empty and it could not satisfy his thirst. Because what we know is empty cups will never satisfy the thirst of a thirsty person. And so this analogy, he likened it to having broken cisterns in our lives. You see, no one would look at the man grabbing an empty cup and saying, I am so thirsty. And picking up an empty cup and putting it up and being like, oh. Putting it down and grabbing another one. We would all look at someone who's picking up empty cups and perpetually putting them up to their mouth to try to quench a thirst that's there with nothing inside the cups. And we would all think, what? He's a little off the rocker. We all know that if you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, you're what? You're just a little crazy. And we would all look at this person and think, who cares if it's a golden cup, a wooden cup, a plastic cup? They didn't have plastic back then. But who cares what kind of cup? If it's an empty cup, it's an empty cup. And that's what this William Law was trying to say was, don't try to get your source of life from empty cups, from broken cisterns. You see, empty cups, they always lead to a frustration for a thirsty soul. But unfortunately, it's not just an empty soul and frustration. In verse 14, we read that verse. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? Why has he become a spoil? But you find these empty cups, these broken cisterns, they don't just lead to frustration or an emptiness in life, but they actually lead to bondage in life. And that's what the Lord, again, remember, this is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah, and he's telling the people, look towards me, the fountain of living water. You see, the problem with broken cisterns, in that cistern when I was a kid, that we would flip the, you know, that was really dumb that they left that thing empty. Because if you fall down in that thing and you're by yourself, you know what? You ain't getting out. And all it would take is one of your knuckle-headed friends to come over and put the lid back on that thing. And you're done. Because you know what? When you're 12, you don't think about stuff like that. Another reason why it's amazing that Josiah was king running a nation at the age of 8. I hope he didn't put any kids in a cistern of any of his friends and cover up the lid. But you see, broken cisterns, they will always lead to empty cups and an unfulfilled life. I need my wife to come. Can we all give my wife a... So we were in the room and I said to Ralph and Jason, I need to go get my Vanna to show her how she needs to help me. And so I got her and I asked her to come, and we came in and she said, I'm your Vanna and I will. I said, did you hear what I said? And she said, no. I said, it's just because I think you're so special. And she's going to be my Vanna for the rest of my life. There you go. I love my wife. Just in case you all didn't realize that yet, just saying. Exactly. Yeah. You see, So I prayed to the Lord, and I said, all right, I don't know, because, all right, us as preachers, we can get up, and when we're doing a message, we can, what I call shotgun statements, that we know we can make them, and they're probably going to hit somebody in the room. You know, we can do that, and we often, and there's nothing wrong with that, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to capture somebody in a room with those. But I prayed, and I said to the Lord, I don't want to just make a blanket statement. There are people that are dealing with empty cups in their lives. I need to know what they are. And so I prayed and I waited on the Lord. And he gave me the cups that we're dealing with. So this is why I gave the preface at the beginning of my message. Just so, what we do is we grab certain cups and we think that those are going to be the thing that fulfill us. We basically, we're looking at life and we build our own broken cisterns when we do this. So grab the first cup. And what is the first one?
It says money and position.
Okay. So these two jars, they represent the Nile River, the Sihon River, and the Euphrates River, the Egyptian and the Assyrian River. Now, I didn't have time, and I went to so bad. There's got to be something there with those two rivers representing different types of... There's something there. And if y'all want to get into a study with it together, let me know, and we can dig into it, because I know there's something there. But those are the two rivers. So she picks up one of the rivers and is trying to fill this broken cistern. Keep filling it up. We need it full. I need a drink from there. I heard tomorrow's a special day for Andy. Amen. Happy birthday, Andy. So, money in position. Oh, she poured a whole bunch. She poured half of the river in this thing. And it is still empty. You see, when we do this, what this is it's our own attempt at creating our identity instead of letting Him create our identity. Us creating what is valuable about us versus Him creating what is valuable for us. I want to build for myself what I should be, not based on what He wants me to be. And as we've just seen and proven through my scientific experiment, it will always lead to an empty cup. The next one. What's this one?
This one says addictions.
All right, maybe this one is the one that will fill my cup. I think I might be able to get a little drop out of there.
Nope.
Ah. Addictions. Obviously, we can call out. And folks, please don't shoot the messenger. We can call out the ones that we would all say. Pornography. Drugs. Alcohol. But one that shocked me was hurts. We can become addicted to our hurts in life. How many of you are pickers? Like, you pick at stuff. And I've said this before, but how many of you, when you get a scab on your arm, you constantly pick it? But what happens if you keep picking it? It scars. It takes longer to heal. But let's just be honest. It feels a little good, right? And that's what happens when we're addicted to our hurts. And the other one, I'm just going to say it and I'm going to move on. But I know I'm not going to just say it and move on, because so many of you have come to me about this. But it's food. We have an addiction to food that we need to deal with. And I'm working on something that we can work on together. I can tell you what it's going to be called. It's going to be called Rebuilding the Temple, because we're all what? We are temples of the Holy Ghost. I've had so many conversations with so many of you about this. So really, I shouldn't have been surprised, because food's good. And I'm telling you right now, anyways, we need to move on. No, but brisket is just so good. I need to get brisket and somebody, like, give me just enough and then take the plate away and hide it. Because I do not do I get addicted to brisket? It is. But addictions. Next, what's the next broken cistern or empty cup?
It says pride and isolation.
Pride and isolation. I am so thirsty, I'm legitimately going to take a drink. That's why I got a drink out of there.
There's a little tiny, tiny bit in there.
There might be enough to coat my tongue.
Nope.
Yeah, watch the speaker. But pride and isolation, again, it's guaranteed to leave you empty. The thing with pride is that we're unwilling to let the Lord change us because I think my way is the better way. That I know the way my life should be and how it should work versus saying, Lord, and you've all heard this before, help me change what I care about to match and reflect what you care about. But that pride of, I'm just not willing. Now, can I take a little bit of pressure off with this one? You're never going to change everything at once. Please don't think that. But an unwillingness, when he speaks to you about an area, to change that, that's when pride comes in. Because I think I'm better the way I am than what he thinks I'm going to be. And that'll always lead to an emptiness in your life. And then the other was isolation. You see, because the enemy knows. He knows if he can get us to isolate from the rest of the body, that if he can get us to do that, that we are just easy targets. And so when we struggle or we have things happen, the worst thing you can do is stay by yourself and don't come around the rest of the body of Christ. Because when you isolate, you're a hot coal that's on fire. You take that hot coal and you set it off by itself. And what's going to happen? It's going to drain that. Heat's going to go away very quickly. But you take that and you put it back in with the rest of the hot coals, and what happens? It ignites again. And that is why we need one another. Don't drink from the cup, the empty cup of isolation. It is a dangerous cup to drink from. And what is the last empty or the last broken cup?
It says relationships.
Yep, I think she's empty. Specifically talking about broken relationships and wrong relationships. This is why reconciliation is so important. This is why having a broken relationship, especially with us inside the body or with our family, is it leads to frustration and an emptiness in our life. You see, a wrong or broken relationship, they can lead to bondage in our life, because how many have had a broken or wrong relationship and you know it feels like bondage? It just does. Because what happens with relationships, so often they become consuming. And it's just so, it's just something that's always there. Even if it's not at the front of your mind, it's in the background and you're always dealing with that. You see, all of these addictions, pride and isolation, money and position in relationships, I can guarantee you that if you look to those things as a source of life, it's always going to leave you empty and frustrated. Because here's what I know about everybody in this room. Everybody wants to be used in the kingdom. Everybody wants to find value in their life. Everybody is looking for purpose that makes your life have meaning. And here's what I know is we already know the answer to this. It's the living water. It's the one, remember, what did Jesus say on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles? I am the living water. It's like rivers of living water springing from within. So what is the last cup that we have here?
It says living water as a source of life, and then it's listing all of the fruit of the Spirit.
What are some of the fruits?
Love, joy, peace. Can we sing the song? Patience, kindness. Yes, that's self-control.
But not a coconut. So it was perfect that I found a cup that was clear that has fruit all over it, fruit of the Spirit. So here is the difference in all of these. You know, your addiction, your relationship, your money and position, and your pride and isolation. When the Lord, so this is your life. This is one that He gives you. Guess what? When He makes it, it's not broken. And so all of a sudden, here comes those living waters. And they fill you up inside. But what is so great is it doesn't just touch the inside of your life. It just doesn't start fixing the things inside. But all of a sudden, as that living water continues to flow, it starts coating the outside. So the Lord, He's able to work on things on the inside. It comes out of you and flows and touches the outside of your life. And people see those changes. They feel those changes. And guess what? When they rub up against you, when you take somebody that has relationships and their life rubs up against, guess what happens? That perpetual flowing water starts to fill their cistern. And here is what is so great about that, is it's forever flowing. So even though it may never fill up, they get to feel the presence of the Lord because it's overflowing from you. Are your arms tired yet? You see, but when the fountain of living water is your source, it fills us again from the inside out. It touches our whole being, and it touches others, and it gives us a life of purpose, fulfillment, direction, meaning, and value. And who doesn't want that? I do. I want my life to be more than just about me. And I don't want to feel empty. I don't want to lay down and feel like, why am I here, and where's the value, and what am I doing to help others? And I don't want to be frustrated that I'm not able to affect the kingdom of God as I'm seeing things happen. I don't want to live like that. And the Lord doesn't want us to live like that. He doesn't want us to live with that feeling of emptiness and frustration. But here's the question. Why today? Why does this matter? Why have we heard this the last 3 weeks or over the last 3 months? Why have we heard this 3 times? Well, I'm going to tell you why. I just heard this the other day. This boggles my mind. Because, Bishop, and all of you that have, how many of you were in serving God and in the church in the 80s? Good chunk of us. All right, I'm still used to being the group on the other side of the tracks. I'm still kind of in that mindset of being the redheaded stepchild of Christianity. There's still some of that inside of me. There's still, and it's one of the reasons it makes me slightly apprehensive about sharing the gospel to just anybody at any time. Just a little bit of hesitation. You know, you got to kind of. But what I know is there is something incredible happening in the world today. Bishop talked about it. You can get on the news and you can look at it. 11% of the population believe in the Trinity. You know what most of them believe? There's one God. As hard as the devil has tried to create confusion, there's only, what's the name of God? If I need my Creator, who do I call on?
Jesus.
If I just need somebody to comfort me right now, who do I call on?
Jesus.
Who's living inside of my heart? This is the thing that blew me away. Y'all remember when I preached about how important Acts 2:38 is? Do y'all remember that? Ed got to see it. We were in my office Thursday. We were getting new internet for the church. And we're sitting there, and up on the screen comes the invoice. We're talking to Matt on the phone, getting our new internet set up. And here comes the invoice. And guess what the number was at the beginning of the invoice? 2:38. I looked at Ed and I said, there it is. And you know what Ed did? He was so full of emotions. He went. Because he saw it. Did you not see it, Ed? Every day. Because it's real. It's legit. And here's how else I know it's real. And this is how else I know that this is a message for today. For us right now, because God is doing something in the world unprecedented. All right, I am our current president, like him or hate him, I don't care. I this is not a political thing. And please, I know the man's moral life. I'm not supporting him or not supporting him. This is not what this is about. This is not a political thing whatsoever. Oh, I do remember. I think that God had a roller set up to rebuild the temple. And I don't think he was one of God's chosen people either, right? I last heard that God sets up rollers and sets down rollers. And you know what? That he controls the nations. So here's what I'm going to say. Never in the history of the world in the United States has this ever happened. How many of you know that President Donald Trump wrote a letter to the Christian church on the day of Pentecost? Anybody in the room? He did. You can pop it up there. I'm sure you all can read that. June 8th, 2025. Look it up. The reason I did this is this is from the White House's website. Today I join in prayer with Christians joyfully celebrating the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, one of the most sacred events of the Christian faith. We commemorate the fulfillment of Jesus Christ's earthly mission and the birth of his holy and living church. That's good stuff, right? On Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead on Easter Sunday, the Holy Spirit descended upon his apostles in the form of a mighty wind, empowering them to speak in tongues and this is on the White House's website, empowering them to speak in tongues and proclaim the good news of the gospel to lands and peoples near and far. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Peter boldly proclaimed. On the White House's website is the words from Acts 2:38. Tell me that he's not doing something today. He's setting it up, folks. And he wants us to be a part of it. He's so excited. I think about what he's doing, getting us ready for that party. I'm so excited about that day when he is going to come. But in the meantime, I want my cup to be overflowing. I don't want no more empty cups that detract from what he wants to do in my life and in the life of others. You see, there is an unfolding of revelation in the world that is drawing people to Jesus. I have talked to so many people. There are so many young folk that are looking for something that is real and true. They are just coming in, and we've seen this, off the streets trying to find the right thing. And here's what I'm going to say to us. We've got to make sure that we're the right thing that they're looking for. You see, he's calling us to the cause of lost souls. And so as we stand, in John chapter 30, or chapter 7, before you get to verse 38 and 39, before he says, basically, I am the living water flowing from within, he says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. I would almost like to say it this way today. In the last days, the great day of the feast that is about to come, Jesus is standing and he's crying out, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So today, and what he's been working on us, what he's been saying to us, don't be a dry hydrant. Don't just buy $3 worth of me. But get rid of your empty cups and come to me as your total source of life. Let those rivers of living water flow through you, over you, into them. You see, when we do it, it changes us, but it doesn't just change us. It was never meant to just change you. It's meant to change them. So today I know some of you have some empty cups that you're holding on to. So I'm going to invite you to come to the altar and to take those empty cups, lay them at his feet. Say, Lord, I'm done with this broken cistern. I'm done with this empty cup. I thirst for the living water. Will you come today? If you're thirsty to be a part of what he's doing in this day, in this hour, in this time, will you come and trade those empty cups in your life for the thing that will never, ever, ever leave you feeling empty? Lord, we love you today. Father, there is a mighty move of your hand. Lord, you are reaching to us. You are drawing us. Father, you are so looking forward to what is going to happen in our midst and in the kingdom. Lord, you're speaking to us today. Lord, I pray that you would look at my heart. Lord, search through me. Lord, I know that there are places in my life that are still broken and that is allowing emptiness to creep into my life. I pray, Lord, that you would show me what it is. Because, Lord, I don't want anything to keep you from flowing through me, to flowing out of me. Lord, I want to touch the lives of those that are hurting and lost. Lord, let me see what it is that I need to let go of. Lord, give me the strength that I need. Lord, help me. I know sometimes I felt like I've done it before, but I seem to always pick the empty cup back up. Lord, I need you, Jesus. Lord, I need you, Father. I need you to touch my life. I need you, Lord, to remove these areas. Lord, let me feel the sense of the day and the hour that we are living in. Lord, let us feel the drawing hand of your presence upon those we are around as they seek after something to fill those empty cups in their lives, those broken cisterns of wrong things that they've looked towards for answers. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Borosariandele Moshura Tandele Ki. Some of you have recognized these cups before, and you've tried laying them down, but it seems like you set it down and you no longer want to drink from that, but then you find yourself building another cistern of the same thing. Here's what I know. Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside of us to help us through that. We just do. It's why we have the body. It's why we have those other hot coals in our life. So I'm asking if there's anybody here today that you felt like I've done this before with one of these cisterns, whatever it is, that empty cup, I need somebody to come alongside of me and pray and bind with me. Will you raise your hand? We're going to get somebody. They're going to come together. And we don't have to do any of this alone. So if you just need somebody to come alongside and help you, just lift up your hand and we'll find someone. Now, here's what I know. Y'all lying right now. We just are. And I get it because I'm kind of saying, hey, stick my neck out there a little bit and just, Lord, I've failed at this one other time, at least. Can I tell you all something? I've failed at this many times with things. But that's why we need each other. So I'm going to ask again, if you have that. All right, let me just narrow it down a little bit. A cup that you have struggled with and you want to overcome, that you want to get rid of, and you specifically want help with that one. If you have something, raise your hand. Molly, Ursula, Christine, Tracy, Jackie, Kelly, Dawn, Mama, and Lynn. All right, I want somebody, Jackie, you can just go ahead and come. They're going to, you know what, all of you, I want you all to come up here in the front. Just, if I called your name, except, you know, we'll get somebody to come back here to Kelly. All right, so let's get them up here. How many of you love praying and helping other people, praying for other people and helping them? You wonderful folks that love that, I want you to come up and find somebody. I don't want, now, they don't have to tell you what it is unless they want. I want you to find somebody and I want you to pray with them, that you're going to tell them, you don't have to tell me, but if you do, I want you to know this. I'm going to bind with you that you can overcome and get rid of this empty cup. All right? Here we go. Jesus, Lord, we know that some of us have, we have cups that are so hard for us to let go of. Lord, we've tried so many times in our life. But Father, through all of those times, it seems like I've never been able to just get rid of it and let go of it, and I keep building my own cistern back in place. But Lord, right now I pray, Lord, because you are speaking to us to this day, I pray right now that you would help as we bind together, as we join in unity with one another, as we lift up our brothers and sisters in this time of just sharing that they have tried before and they need someone to come beside them. I pray right now, Father, that you would give them the strength, that you would help them to overcome this. Lord, this cup, this broken cistern in their life. Lord, and to find you in this area as the source of life that they need. Lord, we pray right now in your precious and mighty and powerful name. Yaromo satarobo sikia yatoro musa.